Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. This topic is so incredibly important. The conversation we're about to have will save dogs' lives. And I mean that literally, because so many dogs are relinquished to animal shelters because they have separation anxiety, or sometimes presumed separation anxiety. And people get so frustrated, or the landlord says, enough is enough. Neighbors say, enough is enough. So the dog lands at a shelter. We can help these dogs. And the person who knows most how to do that, arguably as much as anyone else in America, is Milena DeMartini Price, author of Separation Anxiety in Dogs, Next Generation Treatment Protocols and Practices. Also, founder and primary educator of Separation Anxiety Certification Program for Dog Professionals. Well, welcome to WGN Radio, first of all, Milena.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so passionate about this topic. I could talk about it all day long.
Well, we don't have that much time, but we do have some time. So first off, how do you know your dog actually has separation anxiety or separation distress? How do you know in the first place? Because sometimes the dogs are barking, I would argue, because they've got nothing else to do. Or they're barking because it's self-reinforcing. It's just fun to bark at that person delivering the FedEx package. And it works because when I bark, the person goes away. It could be I tear up pillows in the house because I was never taught how to be home alone. I'm not anxious. I'm actually having a party doing it. So how do you know the dog actually does have what we're about to talk about?
You know, one of the great things about this day and age is that we have access to being able to watch our dog when left alone, more so than we've ever had access to do so, because we have things like Zoom and standalone cameras that are really inexpensive now. And in order to absolutely be able to confirm the difference between a dog that is having that party, like you mentioned, when left alone, or experiencing distress about alone time, we actually need to get our eyes on that dog. And so videoing the dog and being able to see if those barking and other vocalization signs are because of distress, or because of those squirrels and FedEx people coming up to the window.
Absolutely. Now, I want to take this opportunity with you, the expert, to dispel a myth. Should we never adopt a shelter dog because that dog is likely to have separation anxiety?
I'm so glad that you chose that myth, because there's a lot of myths out there we could have talked about, but this is one of my favorites to discuss. You know, we have a tremendous amount of research about separation anxiety and related behaviors. And one of the things that we have discovered and has been replicated time and time again is that there is no sort of causational, right? A dog, just because he or she is in the shelter, means that they will have separation anxiety. We actually see almost the same percentage of purebred purchased dogs with separation-related behaviors. So I really want to encourage people to not be afraid that a shelter dog will be suffering, you know, from separation anxiety just because they have come from that rescue or shelter.
All right, so let's say the dog has been diagnosed with what we're calling, and there are several terms for this now, separation anxiety. What do you do?
Boy, you know, I think there's a lot of places to start, but one of the places that I highly recommend people don't start is by trying to throw spaghetti at the wall and use every kind of natural remedy and all sorts of information that might not be helpful, because this takes a while to resolve, and we want to get going right away with the most efficient and effective practices. So I feel that it's really important to reach out to a professional. So we've got, you know, your vets and veterinary behaviorists. We've got folks like you. We've got these wonderful certified behavior practitioners out there. And I think that getting that support is critical. Now, there are all sorts of levels of support, including sort of online courses and things like that. But the right information will lead you towards humane, gentle, and very gradual introductions of alone time for your dog.
All right. So I absolutely agree with all that. So let's say, as I said, that dog actually has separation anxiety. I wish there was some official way, and maybe there is, and I don't know about it, I suppose, but to designate the level of anxiety that that dog has. So let me start with what I'm calling moderate to mild anxiety, because I don't know how else to put it. And the dog is distressed. You see it on the video, but kind of gets over it at points, or you could just tell just isn't happy. I don't think many dogs are happy when we leave the house, but the dog's not dealing with it as well as the dog could. For those dogs, is the answer a bit different than the dogs that absolutely are having a panic attack? And I think that's the best way to put it, frankly. It is a panic attack. I mean, these dogs may feel, we don't know for sure, but may feel like I'm going to die if things don't change. Is there a difference in the way we handle it depending on the level of anxiety the dog has?
You know, this is one of those questions that is, in a way, somewhat complicated. So I'm going to try and simplify the answer as best I can. One thing I want to start with is by saying there is no competition or scale, if you will, for levels of anxiety. If you have a panic attack and I have a panic attack, I can't tell you that I feel worse than you or vice versa. Anxiety is in and of itself very, very uncomfortable. And so I'm always concerned when we say, well, that dog only whines when left alone. Therefore, they must not be that distressed. We all display our levels of anxiety in very different manifestations, right? So just whining doesn't mean that you are far less anxious than the dog that happens to be jumping up in the door and you know, howling. So that being said, I think that with the dogs that you might term mild or moderate in their distress, we are probably going to be able to move forward in a very gradual way, give them that metaphoric soft place to land, right? But there's the potential for them realizing success ever so slightly more quickly. And I hesitate to say that unequivocally because we do see that mildish appearing symptoms are not necessarily indicative of a dog making, you know, much quicker progress or much easier success. And I think that's because we don't really know internally what level that dog is experiencing. You know, it is a convoluted, they can't tell us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We are relying completely on that body language that we are observing.
Excellent answer, but I would have expected no less. Melena DeMartini-Price, author of Separation Anxiety in Dogs, Next Generation Treatment Protocols and Practices, and we will be right back because there's so much more to talk about. I will tell you, this is singly the best book I've read about this topic, a topic that I know so many of you care about. When we come back, can you avoid this happening to your dog? Is there a way to prevent separation anxiety? We'll find out. Melena DeMartini-Price, author of Separation Anxiety in Dogs, Next Generation Treatment Protocols and Practices. Melena, I believe that separation anxiety, here's what I said at the top of the show. This program and your book can save lives because this problem is so common. And also, it is a huge reason why dogs land in shelters. The landlord says, I can't take it anymore. The neighbors say, I can't take it anymore. Or the pet parent even says, I can't take it anymore. Do you agree?
I agree that because we have limited awareness at this point, it's getting better.
Yeah.
But limited awareness has led people to say, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm at my wit's end. I guess I'm going to relinquish my animal. And we actually see in the research that about 30% of dogs that are relinquished to animal shelters are done so because of some sort of alone time behavior issue. That's a big number.
Yeah, well, I argue that number is probably bigger because if I'm relinquishing my dog to an animal shelter, even if the bond has fractured with my dog, and it may not, it may be a landlord forcing the issue. But even if the bond is fractured, I may not tell the truth. I may not say, because then I'm worried that the dog won't be adopted by the next person. And so many of the dogs that are adopted from shelters, therefore, come into the shelter with the problem. So, of course, they leave the shelter with the same problem.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not that the shelter necessarily caused the problem. So I am a fan of, let me put it this way. We know that humans or dogs, if they are panicked, have a difficult time, if not impossible time, learning. If you're holding me out by the straps on blue jeans, what are they called? Suspenders. That's the word I'm looking for. And you're holding me out on the 30th floor of a building, and I'm half out the window, and all that you're holding are my suspenders. And you say, by the way, you're a tax accountant, so do you mind figuring out my taxes? Figuring out problems, learning problem solving under those circumstances would not be so easy. If dogs are panicked, it's difficult to teach them anything. As a long way of saying, I am a fan of psychopharmaceuticals, assuming the veterinarian knows what he or she is doing, and I assume they do. Do you agree or not?
Boy, I agree so wholeheartedly. We know that anxiety inhibits learning. You're absolutely right. If we're holding you by those suspenders at the top of the Empire State Building, we're going to have a problem having you learn or complete difficult problem solving. And as a result, we can really help the welfare of these animals by incorporating some sort of pharmacology. And the one thing that I want everybody to hear about the idea of pharmacology, because some people get a bit squeamish, right, thinking about, oh my gosh, I don't want to medicate my dog. Well, here's the thing. These are the medications that are FDA approved for the use with separation anxiety. We're not talking about sedating your animal or changing their personality. As a matter of fact, if any or either of those are the result of the medication, that's not the right medication for your dog, as your veterinarian will instruct you to realize. So these are intended to just gain purchase on the anxiety so that the animal, the dog, has the ability to learn. And that's what is so important. Not one single medication out there exists. Well, certainly not at this time, that can, quote, fix separation anxiety. But we can optimize our dogs for learning success.
All right. And I know you are a fan of, therefore, at this point in time, we've got the pharmaceuticals on board. The dog is doing better. Of graduated departures, can you give us a one-on-one on what they are?
You bet. Graduated departures really is the same process that was developed back in the 1950s for working with and treating human fears and phobias. It's sort of an exposure process. So we start out with determining at what point in time the dog starts to show signs of distress. And we will stay beneath that. So for some dogs, that may be just a few seconds after that door closes. For others, it may be a few minutes, and for some, even, they start to show signs of concern prior to even exiting that door. So we determine where that panic point is, and from that point, we say, okay, let's say that panic point is 5 seconds. We're going to stay beneath that 5 seconds for a short amount of time and expose the dog to absences that are safe. So 1 second, you know, a couple of seconds, that sort of thing. And as they learn that those absences are safe, we can gradually start to increase the duration that the dog is left alone. And boy, I know a lot of people think, well, that's going to take a million years, but it doesn't take nearly as long as it might sound, even though we're going in increments of sometimes seconds or minutes.
But later on, you build it up from, say, once you're at a point where 15 minutes to give you a random amount, then you could jump to a half hour and sometimes even jump to an hour from there, right?
You bet. And all that we have to remember is very dependent on the dog. So we're always allowing the dog to set the pace. So one dog may be at 15 minutes and jump to that nice 40-minute duration in a blink of an eye, and another dog may go from 15 minutes to 25 and may need a couple of days to acclimate there before we jump another larger rung.
Right. So real quickly, because we don't have much time here, is there a way to avoid it? So here's what I'm asking. You adopt a dog, or maybe you purchase a pedigree puppy. Is there a way to train your dog not to have separation anxiety?
I think that we can optimize dogs for alone time success, and the way we do so is literally by kind of using a modified separation anxiety protocol. Instead of bringing them home on Friday and leaving for an eight-hour day of work on Monday, we introduce them gradually with, 15 or 20 minutes and then a couple of hours, et cetera, rather than going from zero to 60 in the millisecond.
Well, you are absolutely amazing because your answers are incredible. The book is incredible because this topic matters so much to so many people. Name of the book again, Separation Anxiety in Dogs, Next Generation Treatment Protocols and Practices, Milena DeMartini-Price. I am so glad you began the Certification for Dog Professionals. All of that is on your website, which is
MilenaDeMartini.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Milena. The book is terrific. Thank you. It's called Pet-a-Palooza, and I can't wait. You know, Merry Christmas. When you say Christmas and you live in Chicago or anywhere in the Chicago area, you think about, what do you think about? I mean, maybe you think about the special presentations on Channel 9, and you think about Tree Time. Tree Time is Christmas. Tree Time in Lake Barrington. It is now an official Christmas tradition, and I can't believe they asked me. They asked me. So I'm going to be making an appearance there, talking to all of you on Pet-a-Palooza. That is November 13th. I'll be there from 1 to 3. I'll talk about the Fear-Free Initiative to minimize fear, anxiety, and stress in our pets. I'll be answering any of your pet behavior questions. All of that, and our dog, Hazel, will be there to offer her pawtographs to you. Big-time photo opportunities with Santa and Mrs. Claus. She's coming, too. She checked her schedule, and she's available, so don't worry about that. You have to pay a little bit, or at least they want you to, because that money goes... The picture with Santa and Mrs. Claus and your pets goes to A Heart for Animals. That's a no-kill nonprofit rescue based in Huntley. So that's great. Photos from noon to 4. And you could shop at Hot Diggity Dog. They've got the coolest stuff for your pets. And sales benefit Paws Chicago. So it's great all the way around. And they do have the coolest stuff. I mean, it is that time of year. If your small dog doesn't have a coat or a jacket that's in style, of course, you need one, right? Or your medium-sized dog, because it is, sorry about that, getting colder outside. I can't wait. That's 1 to 3 on November 13th. I will be there. Where? Well, Tree Time is at 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. And they're open 9 to 5. Again, I'll be there from 1 to 3, from noon to 4. Your opportunity to meet, and this is rare. And, it's dog-friendly, the whole event. The whole idea is to bring your socialized dog to meet Santa and Mrs. Claus as well. No word as to whether dog biscuits will be offered. I can assure you no chocolate chip cookies, because we all know chocolate is not a good thing for our pets. I'm excited because Tree Time means Christmas, so I will have a big smile on my face. I will look like Christmas. Well, at least the best to my ability. That's at Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. See you there. We will talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.